Nearly got a try on that left-hand side. What happened?
Oh, but I've gone up and over and bloody head over biscuit. It wasn't enough stability there for myself, but no, I was busting for a bit of meat this game. It didn't seem to work out.
Hello, cheers, and welcome to the Scrum of the Earth podcast, the weekly show that brings you news, reviews, great interviews, and so much more all about the world of rugby. As always, I'm David Lawrence, and by now, you will have surely noticed this is not your regular weekly episode, but is in fact yet another bonus episode. This time, I'm thrilled to welcome back perennial favorite, and frankly, a man near and dear to my own little heart. It's the one and only Phil Harris of the Jack's Rangers show. Phil, this brings you to a baker's dozen in terms of appearances here. Wow. How are you?
Huzzah. I did not realize that it was a baker's dozen. I'm thrilled to be here. And yeah, happy to be a part of the show once again. Hope you're doing well. And let's get into it, man.
So right at the start here, give us a little window into life in the Granite State, New Hampshire, for any listeners who aren't, you know, from the region here. You know, if you looked out your window right now, what are you seeing? Just an endless line of sort of wood smoke, maple syrup, and plaid flannel jackets?
Yeah, you'll find that about 5 miles from where I'm at. I live in the big city of Manchester, New Hampshire, which is the largest city north of Boston. We've got 130,000 people here. You've got everything that you would want, but it is kind of a urban setting. I live right downtown in Manchester, so you're most likely going to see some homeless people scattering around, and then every once in a while you'll see a Lamborghini drive by because it's New Hampshire, baby. You know, it's a great place. There's not a lot of taxes, a lot of rich people, and also, you know, a spattering of working class people here too, so it's great.
So it's funny that little line about, you know, wood smoke and plaid flannel jackets. I literally looked up New Hampshire cliches, and that's what it gave me. Yep. So in fact, I cooked up a little bit here. Are you ready to do some New Hampshire true or false?
Let's do it.
So these are all cliches that people tend to imagine when they think of Daniel Webster's home turf. So you're a transplant. So in some way, you're better suited than anyone to tell us whether these things are actually true or not.
Okay.
And quick side note, how assimilated are you at this point? If you were to draw the sort of pie chart of how much of Phil is a New Englander and how much is still rooted in the Carolinas, which piece is looking bigger right now?
That's a great question. I've been here for 14 years and I absolutely love it. I'll defend it with my life. Specifically New Hampshire. I love New England in general, but New Hampshire is the best New England state, I think. And I feel like the old Phil is still in there. You know, every once in a while, I'll put my hat a little bit higher on my head and listen to some Lynyrd Skynyrd and, you know, try to recreate my Southern accent when I first moved up here, which was a lot thicker than it is today. But it's probably like 45 Southern, 55% New England now.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's pretty reasonable.
Yeah, I think so.
So here's our little true or false, I don't want to say quiz, but just game. Yeah. The first stereotype, you can affirm or deny, and actually you kind of already teed this up. The first stereotype I found was people in New Hampshire hate taxes more than anything. This is something I heard about growing up in Massachusetts.
Right.
And, you know, down here when we see the live free or die license plates, we tend to think the free part is monetary. So in your experience, people in New Hampshire hate taxes more than anything. True or false?
I think they love liberty more than anything. And yeah, probably taxation is the fuel for government, right? That's how things work. So yeah, I think that they do hate taxes more than anything, but they love liberty more than anything as well, which I really, really appreciate. This is one of the freer states in the nation. If you look at any type of index out there, it's also one of the most corrupt, which is odd. But it's a very small state, so I guess you can kind of see how that could take place. The state legislator, I think there's over 450 in the body there. They only make $200 a year. The House of Representatives. Yep, sure do. And you get to get called the honorable for the rest of your life if you are elected. Even if you only run for one term and are successful for 2 years, for the rest of your life, you are the honorable... .. So it's kind of cool.
It sounds like you're giving us a little preview into your own future here.
I think that would be my highest level of politics that I would want to pursue, because everything else is just kind of a, it's like rearranging seats on the Titanic. You know what I mean?
I don't know. The Honorable Phil Harris, that's got kind of a nice ring to it.
It does, right? Not bad. Yeah, we'll see what happens.
Okay, stereotype number two is people in New Hampshire couldn't give good directions if their grandma's life depended on it. Have you had any experience with this? Have you been led astray by a well-meaning Yankee on a frigid winter morning?
Not quite. No, I can't say that I've ever had that experience, but I'm also not good directionally either. So I think I fall in that category. If somebody was asking me the directions, they're going to be lost forever. Unfortunately, they're never going to get to where they need to go. I always just say it's down the road. That's my explanation for everything. Oh, it's just down the road. Yeah, down a ways. And you'll get there.
When I was like 16, I was just walking along and some weird guy kind of slowed down his car, but wouldn't fully stop and wouldn't roll down his window. And he just kind of kept creeping along next to me. And eventually he slams on his brake and rolls down his window. And he's like, "Hey kid, where is blah, blah, blah?" And asked me. And so I just made it up. I was like, "Oh, you're not far. You're going to turn around. Mm-hmm. You're going to go back that way. You're going to take," I just made up a whole list of stuff. He was like, "Ah."
So, and it was Stephen King driving looking. The car. Yeah.
Our final stereotype for tonight, I saved the weird one for last. Okay. The stereotype says New Hampshireites would rather worship squirrels than fit in with everyone else. I know that's phrased in a really weird way, but do you get that sense of autonomy? Is individualism key up there?
It's a really big part of the whole experience here in New Hampshire. Like individualism is big over the collective, which it's kind of hard. Like it's like herding cats with people up here. There's a real independent streak in people that live up here. They're very, very stubborn people, which I can kind of appreciate. Not overly friendly, you know, people are reserved. Individualism is very, very appreciated up here, which I love. But it's difficult to get people together under one banner, for sure.
Yeah, yeah. What's the line? A camel is a horse designed by a committee.
That's a pretty good one, actually.
So despite what it has sounded like so far, we're not here to provide a socio-political analysis of the residents of the Granite State. We're here to talk about something much more fun, and that, of course, is... Mm-hmm. The English Premier League. With Arsenal and Liverpool locked at the top, is there any hope for teams like Man City or Man United?
There's always hope for Manchester United. This is a club that came, you know, out of the ashes of disaster and won the championship of Europe within like 5 years of 75% of their team dying in a fiery plane crash. The whole Busby Babes thing. Oh, if you haven't seen the movie United, it's fantastic. You know, that's a club that you can never count out. But for this year, I think it is over with. I think it's really a two or three team race. And I appreciate you bringing up soccer because I'm such a big soccer guy. But since the start of MLR, I haven't watched it as much as I normally do. I normally watch Stretford Paddock, which is a fantastic fan YouTube channel, every day. But now that the Jacks are back, I haven't really had much time for it. I think they're doing well, but they could have done better. They've had a lot of injuries, which doesn't make things great, as anybody that is a sports fan knows. You know, if you got your one and two out of the depth chart, you're going to be in trouble regardless of how good your team is. It's not going to, you know, they're not going to play as well as you would think. So that's been the problem all season long with Manchester United's injuries, unfortunately. But maybe next year.
I have a feeling that a big chunk of listeners were immediately like, "Oh, yes, let's talk Premier League."
That's one of those things that I'll never quite understand, is that rivalry between soccer and rugby. I think you could love both. I'm not an elitist in that way.
Sure, we can love the bastard child of rugby. That's fine.
Hell yeah. Love that.
So, yes, sadly, no, soccer is not on the agenda tonight. Instead, it's all about Major League Rugby and about our mutually beloved Free Jacks. I know we both love to crow about these things, so I wanted to give you the opportunity just to talk about how great the experience is of being a fan of the MLR's reigning champions. I mean, how lucky are we?
I mean, I gush about it every single episode of the Jacks Rangers show. It's one of those things that we can look at other clubs, places like Dallas, where they're slowly putting it together and the fan experience is not top on their list for whatever reason. The Free Jacks started from day one as a community club. And they put their money and their efforts and their workmanship where their mouth is, where they focused on bringing the rugby community in, whether that be clubs around the area, allowing them to play games at Fort Quincy prior to the big game, or, you know, sending out players to, whether it be the adult clubs, men or women, to just give any insight and help them with their practices, or more specific, I think more importantly, having them go to youth camps and putting these youth camps on display at Fort Quincy, doing coaching clinics, all of that sort of stuff. It's all piecing together an amazing rugby experience here in New England, and we have the Free Jacks to thank for that. And it makes me a little emotional when I think about how excellent they've been to the community. Now, they don't get everything right all the time. Like, there's been some fiascos, but more than not, they do an A-plus job. And when they don't, they're welcoming feedback, taking that criticism, and, you know, turning it around the next week to try to do better. It's really an amazing club, and we are so lucky to have them here.
I remember the Bag of Balls initiative is just one of those community outreach things they've done. 100%. And, like, I mean, you hit the nail on the head. You and I have talked more than once about how tough it is when the season ends and we hear about player departures long before we hear about, you know, what's in the works in terms of new recruits, fresh blood coming into our world here. How do you think the Free Jacks did between retaining our core characters, I almost said, our core players last year, and bringing in, I mean, some of them are characters, let's face it.
For sure.
And bringing in some new talent as well.
I think they're the best in the league at finding talents, specifically in New Zealand, that might be under-recruited, under-scouted, under-appreciated. People like Reese McDonald, I know he's not a brand new player, but nobody knew who that guy was when he came in last year. I saw his highlight tape and I said he'd be amazing. This new kid that was just Dave's MVP of the week, Danyon Morgan Puterangi.
Yep.
An amazing wing who has speed for days. Like, that kid's going to be a special, special player in New Zealand at NPC. And he's going to be a special player here at the Free Jacks. We just have to give him more time and more starts. So that's one of those things. You grab the captain of the Chilean national team at the World Cup, somehow convince him to come to New England when I'm sure he had other options out there. Probably the culture on display and the success brings a lot of these guys in. So it's not just these established players. Like, you'll see, you know, other clubs have different recruiting styles where they go grab these guys that are halfway to a wheelchair or a walking cane and try to get them in for one last magical run. The Free Jacks don't necessarily do that. I think our oldest player is like 32, 33, and there's only a couple of those in that early 30s range. The rest of the guys, I think the average age is like 25 for both the forwards and the backs. So we've got young players with a lot to prove. Sometimes that works out really well. Like, look at last season, a lot of those guys, you know, helped develop their craft and are now at other clubs. Look at one of your favorite players, Joel Hintz, the Bulldog. That guy's playing in URC with the Sharks, doing a damn good job. And it all started right here with the Free Jacks. You know, it's really, really special. And I think that we have recruited very, very well, and that will continue to be on display throughout the season.
So every time you and I talk, Phil, there's a serious danger that we just devolve into like a 20-minute, oh my God, TK is so
just
great
gushing,
discussion.
Yeah.
So I want to, I mean, I still want to do that segment, but I want to keep it a little quicker. I mean, if there's any way to sum it up, how good has TK been once again in terms of creating, you know, lasting power and longevity for our squad?
I don't think there's any, maybe other than Mags, there's no more important person to the Free Jacks early written story than Thomas Kindly. He started as an intern at the Free Jacks, worked his way up to become now the general manager. And for those that maybe not be aware of that, that is the boss of the coach. He hires the coaches. He oversees what they do on the pitch. He recruits and signs players. That's all under his umbrella. So most of the success, he hired Scott Matthey. Do I need to say any more than that?
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, this guy is, everything he touches turns to gold. He absolutely dominates trades, by the way. If you look back at the trades that he's done over the years, I mean, it's practically theft. He's just stealing good players and giving back practically nothing in return. It's really, really interesting. The case study on this guy hasn't been written yet, but it deserves its own little like mini series of how good he is. And he's just a fantastic person. He's been on your show. He's been on my show. I think he's the record holder on my show of coming on. He gives us, you know, 30, 45 minutes of his time. He asks for nothing in return. He's a big fan of what we do. And he understands that we're all a part of this thing, trying to move the needle a little bit further than it was. And there's no better guy in rugby in New England, I don't think.
Taniela Filimone, that's one that got away, and he's just scoring tries for breakfast now. But I still, you know, every time I see that he scored another try, I think, he was ours. But it was probably still a great move. Like, we just didn't have room for him. We have a surplus.
Yeah, I'm not sure exactly what specifically went down with that. It might not have been a good culture fit. But yeah, he got traded. So we got an asset back in return. I think it was a couple draft picks and salary cap considerations. And he's doing a fantastic job with NOLA. So, but here's the thing is, his replacement essentially is Danyon, right? Morgan Puterangi, who just had an amazing game, a big impact player against Chicago. We don't really count assists in rugby, but he had an amazing assist, if you will, for Jason Patras to score that second try.
That's right,
the one that he was hugging the sideline to score. So, I think we're going to be fine. And Taniela is obviously a great player and a great player within this league. So. Here's my only thing. If I had any type of notes for TK, don't trade somebody that good within our conference. Send him to the West. Maybe he did and he couldn't get anything in return, right?
Yeah.
He's a very, very smart guy, so maybe he already thought of that. And he's going to listen to that. He's going to be like, that's stupid, hillbilly. I already tried doing that. I couldn't pull the trigger on the West Coast. You know?
Even if TK thought that, he would never think that.
No, of course not. No.
You already mentioned his name, of course, Scotty, Coach Matthew. Yeah. He's right back to his top tier self. He never misses a trick. Mm-hmm. Even when we rack up the occasional loss, it always feels like it just kind of ends up doing us good in the long run.
Yeah, you know, totally.
Is there any way you can fit your praise for Scotty into 30 seconds, or should we just kind of observe a moment of silence and reverence?
I'll just say this. He's one of the most competitive guys I've ever known. Like, he does not like to lose. He hates complacency. He reminds me of like a cheerier Bill Belichick in that way. He's an absolute rugby genius. You know, prior to coming to the Free Jacks, he was considered the giant killer in South Africa, taking a team with less resources and then, you know, making them win against the teams that they had no business winning against. That to me is a great rugby mind. And him coming to New England, you know, being around this culture that's been established as a winning culture and a place where you can have fun. There's not a lot of like, there's still obviously pressure to perform, but he talked about the anxiety of being a professional player and how he wanted to kind of remove some aspects of that. And I think that they do that very, very successfully with like the mini camps and stuff, or mini teams that they do, all that fun team bonding stuff. Those guys love each other and he's at the top of that and he has fantastic tactics and he's a competitive mofo. He said on my show, I just want to win, bro. And we put that on a quote and posted it the next day because it was just so good, you know. Love it.
Yeah, and his Griquas down in South Africa, you know, if you look at them, they haven't been the same since. If you ask Scotty, he'd say, no, that, you know, it's not a direct line or anything like that. But you and I know.
Yeah, we know that the success, a lot of that had to do with Scott, and we're reaping the rewards here in New England. He's on his final year three of a 3-year deal. Interesting to see what he does. As Mags alluded, which is Alexander Magleby, the CEO of the Free Jacks, he alluded on our show, the Jacks Rangers show, a couple weeks back. These guys, TK and Scott, have had other opportunities to go elsewhere, but they haven't done that yet. They've stayed loyal to the Free Jacks, and we'll have to see how it all shakes out.
I'm way too scared of that to even talk about it.
Yeah, understandable.
So when we planned this little chat, we placed it right at the bye week when one, you know, full quarter of the season would be in the books. So starting at the basic stuff, on a scale of 1 to 10, what's been your assessment of this year's campaign?
Seven. There's room for improvement. I think that we've had some ill discipline that has hurt us. We haven't been as physical as we were last year, but yet we're 3-1. There's been some ugly wins, but a dub's a dub. You always appreciate a win because the alternative is not great. And we experienced that at Fort Quincy. I know, against our hated rivals, the color scheme thieves of DC. They did steal our colors. That's just not a thing that I came up with, guys. That is a true thing. If you look back into the history of MLR, the Free Jacks were announced, the branding was announced, and about a month later, here's DC within the same conference running red, white, and blue. Like, you know, it's no big thing. It's very, very odd. It's very strange. And I absolutely cannot stand the branding and just the idea of DC. I'm not a big fan. But yeah, if you're going to lose at home, get it out of the way early. I still think Fort Quincy has that mystique of being a fortress, but it's a little bit dented right now. And if there is such a thing as a good loss, you might as well get it out of the way in week two. By the way, we lost last season in week two, and look how that turned out. So I feel good about the rest of the season. I think we don't have a talent deficiency in New England in practically every position. I would put us up against anybody. It's just, you know, getting these guys together, making them gel. There's still that whole experience, that phenomenon within Major League Rugby where almost the majority of your team leaves at the end of the season and doesn't come back. The Free Jacks have been fortunate with 65% to 70% retention rate, which is really, really good. But you've still got those guys, you're working guys in. We still haven't seen LaRue Milan, who's a star player with ball in hand. He makes stuff happen. He's been injured, hopefully coming back soon. Mitch Jacobson was a huge, huge part of the leadership of this team and was a consistent starter in the loose forwards. He's down in New Zealand, had a baby. Congratulations, Mitch. He'll be back up next month, which within a couple days, we'll be seeing him back in the red, white, and blue. So some of our best players haven't played yet, which is encouraging to think about. But yeah, I'm pretty satisfied with what's happened so far.
Are you at all worried about a potential championship hangover? Like, you and I both love sports, and we both know no matter what sport you're talking about, backing up a title is hard. Like, right. it doesn't happen that often. Right. And a lot of times the team won't even make the playoffs the next year. Do you have any fears along those lines?
No, because MLR did something very Mickey Mouse this year where they're saying there's six teams in each conference, and four of the teams get to punch their ticket to the playoffs, baby. Woo, we're on the playoff train. There's no way that the Free Jacks don't make the playoffs because in our conference, there's two teams that are brand new. Now, Miami's turning some heads with some of the players that they have. They've only beaten the other team, as I call them, Healthcare RFC, and it hurts my heart because they're in Charlotte, North Carolina, in my hometown, but they are not very good at rugby right now. So it's just one of those things where you've got two teams out of the six that aren't very good. So that leaves the remaining teams, ourselves, no playoffs, NOLA, the color scheme thieves. I'm missing one. But those teams are going to make the playoffs. So I'm not concerned about that. The minimum expectation for most of our fans is just to make the playoffs as a minimum expectation. So we're going to meet that easily. No problems there. It's just what happens afterwards. And I think Scott Matthey, with his mindset, he's talked about complacency on the Jacks Rangers show, and you can see him grit his teeth when he says the word.
Yeah.
The man absolutely cannot stand it. So it's culturally something within the Free Jacks to where they're like, nope, I see you kind of half running that drill. That's not going to work here, pal. You better run it the full way or you won't be starting next week. It's that kind of mentality where iron sharpens iron. Competition is so important because they bring in, you know, the depth chart. The second guy could best the first guy potentially and, you know, come into that starting spot. There's no guaranteed starters for the Free Jacks for the most part. You have to work for everything. So you can't take no days off, right? Bill Belichick, once again. So I think that's just something that we won't see with this team. They might get beat, but it's because the league is better, David. The teams have more parity this year, and people love that. We're not going to see blowouts like we saw last year with the Free Jacks, I don't think, unless we're playing Healthcare RFC, which is Anthem Charlotte. Yeah.
Well, our next home game is against the squeaky new Miami Sharks that you already mentioned. What are you looking forward to in that one?
I'm just excited to get back to Fort Quincy. Right now we're on a bye week, and I hate it because my team's not playing. I'll try to do other stuff.
The Simpsons episode where Homer's sitting at home watching football, and they're like, after last week's victory, the team must survive a harrowing bye week. And they're all like flipping burgers by the pool.
Yeah, exactly. So most of those guys, if you haven't looked at social media yet, they're already like all over the country doing their thing. A lot of guys go up to New Hampshire. I think Cam has a New Hampshire house or whatever, like a vacation house that some of them go to. And then a lot of these international players, they go down to New York City just to see, because I understand like the allure of New York City. Now, when you get there, it's just, you know, a rat carrying a full slice of pizza down the street and then a homeless person pissing into a trash can. And it's fucking terrible.
But only one? Yeah,
multiple of these things are happening all at the same time all over the city of New York. But you know, every time that they post like a little, you know, a skyscraper vista, I'm always sending a vomit emoji into their messages every single time, which I'm sure that they appreciate because we hate New York around here.
On April 13th, we're going away to the team I call the Thundercats. In fact, just this week I said, if they keep playing like they are right now, I might have to call them by their real name. How big is this matchup for you? I think you actually have some connections down there as well. Yeah,
I do. I've got family down in Pasadena. I love the state of Texas. Big Texas guy here. Love Texas. Love Houston specifically. You know, I've got family that moved down there and just became wildly successful. If you want to feel freedom, if you don't come to New Hampshire, a good place to go is Texas, for sure. But yeah, I think this Texas team, Houston, excuse me, specifically, has been built with a certain mindset in mind. You know, was it 2 years ago at this point, they brought in Human Pote, I believe is his last name, the head coach, and then obviously Meyer as well is their director of performance, like the TK role down there. So those guys have a clear vision of what type of rugby that they want to play, and specifically it's smash mouth. We're going to punch you in the face, see what you're going to do about it. That South African bomb squad type of rugby that they play down there, and it's very, very successful. As you saw, you know, they beat up on Seattle. They had a decent lead going into halftime, and Seattle got really, really close, but Houston was able to stay undefeated. So I think it's going to be a huge, huge test for the Free Jacks. It might be the toughest away game this season prior to the playoffs starting, I think, is that Houston game down there, because it's going to be a slobber knocker. It's going to be a slugfest. It's going to be a barn burner, whatever you want to call it, because Scott Matthey, that's the type of rugby he likes to play too. Let's not forget that he's South African too. So this Free Jacks team takes a lot of pride in the physicality. Now, we haven't really seen it as much as we did last year, and that's something that they're working on. I think they did a better job against Chicago last week in showing their fangs a little bit in the forward area, but it's going to be a huge, huge game. I'm excited.
Yeah, 82 points in that game in Seattle. It was something else.
Woo! A lot of points.
And I think I'm just kind of looking back here. If we had played either of those teams that week, we would have lost, based on our highest points this weekend. So, in fact, it's a great little setup for it's going to be a tough couple of weeks. When you had me on for the first of the way too early predictions on the Jacks Rangers show, I don't think any of us really noticed what a really tough two game turnaround that's going to be. Houston away, then Seattle come here. Have you been mentally revising any of your predictions, or are you kind of doubling down?
I feel like we can beat anybody at any given time. With the roster that we have, we can compete toe-to-toe, whether it's home or away, with any team in the league. As long as we get these little things corrected, like set piece is a big part of rugby, and we haven't been great this season in that. We got to clean up the discipline issues. There's too many penalties. Like, we had 12 last week. That's just too much.
And Jesse Peretti's not even here anymore.
Jesse Peretti's not even anywhere close to New England. So that's a bit of a concern.
I'm not even sure he's free on the streets.
He's somewhere in New Zealand having a blast, I'm sure. Pestering somebody, of course. And physicality, you just got to show a bit more teeth, you know. Once we get those important aspects of rugby corrected, this roster, there is no talent deficiency. I keep telling people that we have top to bottom one of, if not the best roster in MLR, period.
Yeah.
Point blank. So we can compete against anybody. I feel good in any matchup. The Free Jacks can and will win.
I think that's the lingering problem. You know, it's still a pretty early league. You know, we haven't been around that long. I think a lot of teams, their biggest problem is, okay, we finally got a 15 that we can feel good about, mm-hmm. but 16 through 23, you know, you're giving up something as soon as they come in. I just don't think we have that same kind of problem.
No, not at all. And we never really have within the Scott Mathey era. Like last year, we would watch, you know, the substitutions roll in, and the Free Jacks, because our quality of depth was so good, we would put teams away in the 60th minute or so. Now teams are slowly catching up to the Free Jacks, and with the demise of Toronto and New York, that dispersal draft certainly helped that along. But just everybody in the league has gotten much better. And all we have to do is point at that DC game where we lost at home for the first time in over a season. This is the team that came in that we beat three times last year, twice in the regular season, and then in the playoffs, the most important one in the Eastern Conference Final, and pretty handily. And they came into our house and punched us in the mouth and said, all of this mystique and stuff like that, forget about it. We just burned this place to the ground. So, you know, they were probably pissed off. They probably saw my memes. I'm going to apologize for anything that I put out there ever. So, you know, they probably had belief. You know, they had not beaten us in 1,000, you know, whatever days it was, over 1,000 days, who's counting. And they had a chip on their shoulder, and they came in and punched us in the mouth, man. So any team is capable of beating us, but we're capable of beating any team.
All the fans around me were blaming that loss on the ref. I don't see it that way.
It's just too many mistakes.
I found some decisions interesting, I guess I'll put them, but I'm not a fan of saying, oh, we lost because of the ref. I just don't think that's a thing.
One person told me that the MVP of DC was the referee, which, you know, that's just something you're going to hear. There's a bitterness streak in Boston sports. There always has been. You know, people expect championships around here, and when that doesn't come to fruition, they get real bitter. So, you know, that's going to happen. That's any sports market really is, you know, blaming the referees and stuff like that. But ultimately, the reason why we lost that game is ill discipline and mistakes on our part that put DC in a driving position there at the end. The guy had to make a tough kick, and he made it, and game over.
Well, we've talked about the Thundercats and the Seawolves. The Western Conference is looking pretty strong this year. Are there any
Dallas
surprises
is really
for you
well.
Out there? Like
Dallas, yeah.
Yeah, Dallas too. I mean, you've had me on the show a couple of years in a row, and I've been like, you know who's going to be good this year? Dallas.
Yeah,
and
you're always like, at some point right. It's going to happen. Yeah,
I'm getting closer to being right, which is a weird feeling.
Yeah. I mean,
any surprises for you out west, or is it the same old, same old?
I'm a little surprised at the lack of wins for Utah. Utah, I believe, is in fifth place right now, and I'm surprised by that. I mean, that's a team that
always
perplexes
me. And they got taken out by the Bellends, right?
Yeah, exactly. The Dickheads beat them, which is very surprising. I think that they're always good at home. That's a tough place to come into. It's a ruckus crowd. You're at altitude. You know, you get winded easier up there. And it's not just not a lot of fun. It's just not a fun place to be, apparently. You know, Salt Lake City, not the best of places. But yeah, I just wonder.
The crowd's always
extra
big because everyone has a bunch of wives.
Exactly. Yep. It's just one of those things. I'm surprised by them. I'm surprised by Dallas. We kind of didn't know. I mean, I had Rick Collins, who I'm a big fan of that guy. He's the Jackals' biggest supporter. He comes on the show as our Dallas correspondent. They didn't really know the personnel like a month or like weeks before preseason. Like it's one of those things that they were really, really slow about announcements and stuff like that, but they've put together a very, very decent roster led by the first draft pick from last year, Sam Gola, who's an excellent rugby player.
He's
really good. You know, USA Eagle already, which, you know, it speaks for itself about how quickly he's had a great impact in this league. So I'm surprised by them. A little surprised with San Diego. They kind of look like a shell of themselves. But again, that is a geriatric roster that continues to get older year in and year out. So We'll have to see.
Thank you for bringing them up. You know, both of us have talked about this, how sad it is that San Diego, you know, they're still too scared to come visit us here at home. Do you think there's anything we can do to sort of make them feel safe? Is there like a big ass nightlight we can turn on or something?
Yeah, I think that would help tremendously. Obviously, they're terrified of Woodgie, and why would you not be, right? They don't want to be anywhere close to Woodgie. It's one of those strange things. Next year, we have to have them at home. There's just no doubt. Yeah. Or there's going to be some very angry letters sent to Dallas, where the headquarters of MLR is.
So over here in the East, it's weird to see NOLA tied with us. Do you think they're finally for real this year?
I mean, are they for real enough to be into the playoffs picture? Yeah, because there's the only thing that I could see getting in the way, and I don't think NOLA is one of those teams where they don't have a winning culture. I mean, people are going to be upset about me saying that, but it's just true. Like they're throughout their history, they've been very, very mediocre. So they have to learn to win, and they're doing that right now. They've come out of the gates very, very strong. They played us pretty decently well up at Fort Quincy. But I just wonder about that team, man. I don't know. The only thing that gives me pause and says, well, they'll probably make the playoffs is the tomato can Eastern Conference, where you've got two brand new teams and four out of six get into the playoffs. Mickey Mouse, hey, we're at Disney World, baby.
It's funny too, because their head coach before the season did a whole, like, I don't know if it was a full press conference, but he had, you know, issued a statement where he was like, our thing is making the playoffs. We're going to make the playoffs this year. But it sounds like that's the end goal, you know, which, like you said, isn't that hard. So I kind of wonder, even if they do, I mean, it seems inevitable they will do that. Is that going to be enough? Are they going to be like, hey, we made it. Okay. What happens next year?
I would hope that is not their mentality, because if you make the playoffs, you might as well win the whole thing. Right. That should be the mentality. If they're popping champagne bottles by finishing fourth in the Eastern Conference, that team has a lot more to worry about than our criticism. I'll tell you that for free.
By the way, my little side thing I'm sure is going to happen. Mm-hmm. I can't wait to see Miami overtake DC this season. It's going to be super funny, right? Like,
that would be
already coming up with memes for that day, because it's coming.
You know, I have this weird knack of like being able to create memes out of nothing and make fun of other teams. It's just some sort of special gift that I've been given, and I try to utilize it as much as possible. So there'll definitely be, you know, memes coming throughout the season. I had one really funny that I posted about Anthem, which is Healthcare RFC, as we call it on the Jax Rangers show today. It's Homer and the family, and they're in like empty bleachers, and Homer's yelling down to the pitch.
Would you lose already?
Yeah, could you lose already so we can go home?
I just call them the stupidly named Anthem. I haven't come up with anything more
so
creative
bad,
than that,
man. You know, I was on my show when they announced, because I was kind of flirting with the idea of like, oh, maybe they're my second team.
Yeah, they could be your shadow team.
Right, my shadow team. And that just completely fell apart when I heard how terrible the name was. And I was like, I can't possibly do this now. It's one of those things, man. Like I
was saying a couple weeks ago, what do you do when you go home? You're like, Mom, Dad, I made a professional rugby team. Oh, really? Are you a Seawolf? Are you, you know, a Free Jack? No, I'm an Anthem.
Yeah, it's just so bad. It's just so poorly executed, man. And I talked about it on the Jax Rangers show. I was telling the boys, I was like, I felt sad that entire day. And this is not a bit. Like, it really, really drained me. Because I'm overflowing with rugby joy all the time, right? Since I created the show, like, I'm just so happy to create content and try to move this thing forward. But when that day came, I was like, we're wasting our time. These people that have control over everything, they're just going to ruin it for us. It doesn't matter how funny our memes or how excellent our content is. People are just going to laugh at this whole rugby thing, because the name is Anthem Rugby Carolina, and I can't do anything about that. Like, it hurt my heart for real, man.
Well, after four games in Major League Rugby 2024, I kind of feel like the standings are where they should be. I think I'm definitely surprised by the Thundercats' dominance. You know, what's been your biggest surprise this year?
Mm-hmm. Maybe NOLA, you know, being right up there with us. I mean, they're tied on points with us. It's the only difference is the point differential is, I think we're blowing them out of the water in that. And that's the only reason why we're in the top
crappy uniforms.
Yeah, there's that too. There's that too. I feel so bad for Dougie Fife because every time before it comes to Fort Quincy, I'm thinking there's the possibility that this guy's going to have a monster game. And then he absolutely just drops a potato and lets Reese McDonald just blow past him. His opposing 15, by the way, that's got to hurt your heart if you're Dougie Fife. Just that the bounce of the ball and it makes him look like a complete dick in front of 3,000 people. That's tough, man. That's tough.
I was happy to root for Dougie when he was here.
Of course.
When they let him go, I was like, you know what? I'm trusting in TK and I'm trusting in Scott Matthey. Mm-hmm. And miss him. I'm happy to say, hey, buddy, when he comes back. But, yes. You know.
Yeah, we've done fine. That's the thing is there's no position that you can look up and down the roster where it's like, man, we sure miss so-and-so. Because the players that are coming in, they're really talented players. It's really, really awesome to see.
So I never know how accurate or up-to-date the official MLR stats are, like on the main website. But for our purposes here, I'm going to assume they're correct.
Okay.
As we speak right now, no Free Jacks are in the top 4 point scorers. But we do have 3 in the top 10. So is that a stat that concerns you? Or do you think that's more of an indicator of our sort of spread the wealth policy as a team?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, there's no... I mean, other than Jason Patras, I guess people can argue that the fly half should be the star of the show based on what they orchestrate and the points that they accumulate. Other than that, like, we've got killers up and down this roster. Like, anybody can score. It's one of those things where we can spread the wealth around where certain teams, maybe Utah comes to mind, they have 1 or 2 star players that you expect them to score over and over again. I feel like, first and foremost, it's too early. You know, we're 4 games in.
It's true.
So I think that'll all shake out eventually. Now, I know that we're on top of certain stats that aren't the ones that you covered, like top tackles. We've got like 3 out of the top 5. Top try scorers, meters gained. Reese McDonald is absolutely killing it this year at 15. So he's leading the league in a lot of different categories right now. So, yeah, we're going to be just fine, man. I'm not concerned at all.
So here's a funny stat for you. Utah, or as I call them, the rugby team of Latter-day Saints, and the new LA team, they're actually tied for table points. Mm-hmm. You already mentioned, like, what's going on with them? Yeah. So that bit's already funny. But did you realize that if they were in the East, they'd be tied for 3rd place?
Yeah, this is something that happened last year, and a lot of people were like, well, if the Free Jacks were in the West, they would be, you know, it's just one of those things like, okay, but that's not what reality is. So, I mean, I don't know what you want me to say to that, you know, like it is what it is. We know that the West has been traditionally very strong. And I think that will continue this year. You know, Houston, Seattle, San Diego, those 3 teams could beat any of the Eastern teams, home or away, at any given moment. I think that's fair to say. And we will see how it shakes out with the rest of the teams over there. I think Dallas looks pretty good. It is very early.
They've been a little up and down, which is, again, you're right. Down. It's early. It's 4 games. It's hard to really describe a roller coaster over just 4 results.
Yeah, just 4 is just not enough. But, yeah, that's the only thing that surprises me is Utah is below Dallas right now. That's really the only thing that, and again, the West is very, very strong. And we knew that last year. I think that's going to be the case this year as well. And it is what it is.
So the stupidly named Anthem, they're the only team without a win so far. Do you think they could go the entire season without getting a victory?
Oh, yeah. I saw them in person, and we should have won by a lot more, David. Lot more in that game. I think our ill discipline really hurt us down the stretch. I'm surprised they scored at all, to be honest. It's one of those things where they're going to take their beatings, and hopefully they will continue to gel together and get better as rugby players, and the recruitment will continue to increase. I'm hoping... And I'm not talking about our beloved Eagles on the Free Jacks. I'm hoping other Eagles will join them in Charlotte in years to come to try to make that thing a little bit more competitive. Like current Eagles on the roster, like Dylan Fawcett, I'd love to see him go retire there. You know, so some of those other really good experienced players need to get down there to Charlotte to help these young kids out.
Well, Anthem still has their home and away with DC. They've got LA and they've got Miami. Mm-hmm. Those are all their best possibilities, I guess, but maybe they split with DC. LA just proved they kind of know what they're doing. Miami knows how to score a lot of points.
Yeah. I don't see a win out of any of those games, to be honest. I think DC is pretty for real. They could be second or third in the East. Their player, Jason Robertson, he was there previously, and last year they didn't have him. He went, I think, to Scotland or New Zealand and played very, very well over there, and they missed him all season long. They kind of had a rotation at 10, and nothing really stuck. But now that he's back, I think they're really, really dangerous. I think we will see them beat teams that they shouldn't be beating, like Western Conference foes. That everybody's gonna be like, oh no, really? DC beat them?
Wow.
Yeah, I think that Anthem, you know, Healthcare RFC as I call them, they're gonna have some trouble in this year, big time.
So I'd love to look at a few of our individual free jacks. As soon as I say that, does one player sort of immediately jump into your mind? Like, you're like, yes, this is the person I want to talk about.
I think the big three or four come to mind. Kyle Sakara, Larry, Captain Josh Larson, Iron Man Mitch Wilson come to mind, and John Poland. Those are the guys that I immediately think of. They've been here the longest. They're, you know, the most tenured, the most experienced, some of the best free jacks there is.
By the way, have you noticed how many of our players have black eyes in the new team photos? Like, what the hell happened that day?
I wonder about that. You know, they've got some wacky team bonding stuff that they like to do. Some of them might be just punching each other in the eye as like a rite of
really
passage
like
to be a part of their mini team.
It looks
I don't
like they
know
shaved each other's heads and then fought.
It's maybe they're doing like a fight club as like a secret mini team thing. I just hope
first rule
no
of free jacks
injuries.
Don't talk about free jacks.
Exactly. Yeah. They'll never tell it on the show. That's not something that they're going to go into, but yeah, I did notice that and I thought, huh? Okay. I don't think I really want to know the answer to this.
Well, in terms of our current squad, you know, you mentioned Kyle, the Eagle has been pretty nailed on as a starter. What other props are sort of standing out for you this year so far?
J.R. Jenkinson is a monster. You know, he's getting up there in age. I think he's like 32, 33 years old. I think his birthday was today, actually. Happy birthday, J.R.
Okay.
But an experienced South African scrummager. He was playing prior to this season. I think he went directly from France to New England. He was playing in like Division II in France or something like that. So,
yeah, the prodigy.
He is. Every time he's out there, I'm like, this guy's going to eat somebody's lunch in the scrum. He's just so experienced. He's a master of the dark arts. So he impresses me for sure. I really appreciate that Foster DeWitt, the Canadian international, Gary, his dad, is a big fan of the Jack Stranger Show. Hey, Gary, if you're listening, he can play prop and he can play lock. He can play prop and hooker. So he's very, very diverse, and I really appreciate him as like a great guy coming off of the bench, provides a lot of energy, high motor, you know, will give you 110% every time he's out there. So he's another one.
Well, you just mentioned the hooker position. Q, of course, is back to tearing up trees, of course. I'm pretty sure I'm right. He started every game this year.
That sounds right. Yep.
Who else do you think has, you know, shown some promise, maybe as a reserve at hooker, or maybe to just give Q a rest?
Sean Ralph is a kid, I don't even think he's 21 or 22 years old.
Wow.
He's one of those kids. He was a part of the age grade within the Chiefs academy system. So you know he's good. It's just a matter of time before that guy has a breakout game, whether it be, you know, giving Q a rest and coming on as a starter or just coming off of the bench and just lighting up this league. I think he's one to watch for sure. TK got a really, really good one in that young man.
So both of us felt very good about this, I'm sure. Josh Larson, you already mentioned him. He's back on the field for us. The eternal captain, as I like to call him. How good has it been to just see him back out there after missing him almost the entirety of last season?
You know, he comes on the show at least once a season on the Jack Strangers show, and I really appreciate his time. I give him a lot of crap because he coached. He didn't realize that I was a Gamecock, a lifelong Carolina rugby boy. And he went down there to coach, just for some extra bucks or whatever, get some coaching experience. And I have been a thorn in his side ever since then. But I just think great leader, great player. We're privileged to have him to continue to be a free jack. I hope he retires as a free jack one day. His leadership is second to none on the pitch. And, you know, I love him in the lineouts. I love him directing that whole set piece. I just think he's undervalued as a free jack for everything that he contributes.
Anyone else sort of caught your eye at the lock position?
Kyle Bailey is a warrior, man. When he signed for DC, we didn't realize this at the time at the Jacks Ranger show. I was begging TK through the airwaves to sign Kyle Bailey after Josh Larson got injured, because he was a free agent at that point. He wasn't retained by Toronto. The guy has so much experience in this league. He was the captain of NOLA back in the day. And then he
forgot about that.
Yes. Yep. He was the captain of NOLA for like the first two seasons, I want to say. But he gets signed by DC as a free agent. The Free Jacks were going to sign him, but he had an injury with his leg. And they were like, you didn't pass the medical. Sorry. And he was like, okay, I'll just go to DC. And he immediately was catching the balls in the lineout and directing the mauls. And he plays with an edge about him. He's got grit. He's got everything that you would want in a lock. And we are lucky to have him, man. Lucky.
So Vian, of course, he's back in full swing as well. Best. Thank all gods. I swear I was very worried he was going to get snapped up by like a French team after his performance in the World Cup.
Yeah.
But, you know, who else has stood out for you in the back row?
Martin Segrin. Just incredible.
Definitely.
Incredible. You know, this is a guy that has a ton of leadership experience. I mean, think about all of the captains or leadership group within the Free Jacks. I mean, there's like seven or eight guys that could be the captain of this team. Easy. And he's on that list. Just huge talent. I mean, this is a guy that started, I think, every single game in the World Cup, and he's playing for the Free Jacks. What? As you're saying, like, Wayne Conradi is also here. How has somebody not picked him up? Like, what is the worldwide scouting network within rugby if he's still with the Free Jacks? Lucky to have him. Glad he's still here. Forward of the year last year. Player of the year last year. So these guys being on this team is just like, I have to pinch myself sometimes and say, how is this? This doesn't make any sense. They're too talented to be here, but I'm glad they're here.
Well, Calametti, he got his first start for us in Chicago. How did you rate his performance? You know, does JP need to start looking over his shoulder a little bit?
Well, JP's injured. That's the issue. I mean, right now, that's a concern.
The arm thing, right?
Yes, it's an arm thing. I talked to him about a week ago, and they were hoping for the best. Essentially, they were kind of expecting the worst, and I haven't heard from him since, but they were basically trying to get it evaluated. So he could be on the sidelines for a while. Now, I haven't seen him in a sling in the more recent photos, so that's slightly encouraging. But Calametti is one of those guys that I had heard from sources close to the club during preseason who was really, really impressing. This is a guy with Fijian heritage, but also has some Canadian heritage. So he's domestic qualified. So he's not one of the players that we have to worry about, you know, spending an international roster spot on. So that's always a plus. But in addition to that, this guy came through the English system playing with the Falcons, as they call them, over the Newcastle Falcons. So if you're playing for the Falcons, you're doing a damn good job at playing rugby. So I always knew that he would be
not
really,
if you're
really
currently
good.
Playing for them. They're pretty bad, but
I mean, they're in the Premiership, right?
They are.
That's better than here. Newsflash for the people that might be confused about that: they would probably beat the Free Jacks easily.
There is a difference, yes.
Yeah, there is quite a bit of difference in quality. So, yeah, man. I wonder about that. I asked one of the I don't know if they still do the show. There was a MLR betting show, a podcast that I came on as a guest one time. The guy was English, and I was like, how do you think the Free Jacks would do in the Premiership? And he said, probably towards the bottom, which I think that's fair. I think that's fair to say.
Yeah, I was asking Mags about the same thing. I was asking somebody recently about, you know, it feels like we're closer to being at the NPC level where we could sort of slot in there and maybe win a few games in that competition and, you know, not make asses of ourselves, which is pretty good.
Which is the second tier of, you know, professional rugby down there in New Zealand. So,
right.
You know, it's not terrible, but I think we probably would. The real question is, in England, would we win the championship? Now that I think that's a better comparison. That's a good question. Would we fall in the championship, which is the second tier of professional, right, you know, within the pyramid there? That's something I'd love to see.
So Potty, he's been great at fly half as always. I'm just so impressed by his decision making, in particular his vision. Has anyone else been sort of showing you something backing him up at 10?
I mean, I think Reese McDonald is that guy. I've said that for 2 years now.
At fullback, though, right?
Of course. But he led the league in the shoot shield over there in Australia. He was the 10 there. And if you type in Reese McDonald highlights, you're going to see some stuff that's going to blow your mind with him playing 10. I think he is there as the second 10 on the depth chart, because otherwise there's nobody that, I mean, Mitch can take kicks. He can be a 10. He can play anywhere in the backs if he wanted to. I don't think he likes playing the scrum half. It could be a height thing. John Poland can take kicks as well, but I really feel like Reese McDonald, if Jason goes down, knock on wood that doesn't happen, I think we would see Reese at 10, and I would feel very, very confident in his ability to do that.
By the way, did you catch some of the shade the Comms were throwing at Jason Patras during the game last week in the second?
I did not. The
Second City Pupsters, you know, after his first try, they were like, not sure how Chicago let that guy score a try. And they were like, he's not exactly the quickest or the most agile.
Oh, I did hear that.
Going on and on. Like they were making a list of the things he's not. And all I could think was, you know what he is? Last year's MVP and the guy who won two titles in the same calendar year.
Yeah, two-time champion in 1 year. Like, that's great, because I love that kind of stuff. It reminds me, it fills my heart with joy, because the Free Jacks used to not be world beaters, David. If you rewind in your mind, back in 2021 – you know, we would lose on a dime. Like, we lost two in a row, like three times in one season. You know, we were not very good on the road. And that kind of brings me back to that time where everybody was underrating us and we were flying under the radar. That was kind of fun back then. I kind of like that, where like people, you know, look at our players and say, how's this guy doing what he does? You know, I like that aspect. I like to be that. And obviously we can't be that, because we're the best in the East. There's no question about that. We're the champions of MLR. So those days are long gone. But I appreciate a little shade where, like, this guy shouldn't be doing that. You know, and I'm sure the player, Jason, he's heard that probably his entire career.
Right.
He shouldn't be this good. And I'm sure that that will continue to fuel him. By the way, he's been my MVP the past 2 weeks. On our show. So in terms of his performances, a little shaky to begin with at Anthem and then the DC game. But I mean, from there, he's been fantastic.
So Ben Lesage, he's been great this season. Who else have you been noticing at our center positions?
Wayne Vanderbank is a hell of a rugby player. Obviously, yes. LaRue is injured, and LaRue is an amazing rugby player in and of itself as well. But people forgot how good Wayne Vanderbank was. In the previous season, in 2021, was it 2021? 2022. I'm getting my years mixed up here. Him and LaRue were just on a complete tear as a partnership within MLR. You can't tackle Wayne. I think he leads the league in defenders beat. If you're that first defender, you have no chance of bringing down Wayne Vanderbank.
Yeah.
And what's weird is, like, you look at the guy and you're like, okay, he plays professional rugby, but you're not blown away with his physicality, the way he looks. I mean, he looks like kind of a regular, handsome, regular guy, but he will not be defeated in that first tackle. He keeps his legs churning, which, you know, you're always taught to do as a rugby player. If you're, you know, getting into contact, keep your legs moving. Well, he never forgot that. And he does it every damn time. He leads the league in defense
with the Steelers.
Absolutely. Another great example. That guy, you couldn't bring him down. You had to have just a mountain of men tackle him to bring him down. And the same thing with Wayne Vanderbank. And not only will he just run you over and keep his legs churning, but he's got some moves as well. And he also is leading the league, if not leading the league, or up there in the top three in tackles made, which you also maybe would not expect just looking at him. He's fantastic. And people forgot, last year he had a nagging hamstring injury, so that definitely hindered him. But this year he's completely healthy, and he's making the most of the starts that he's had.
So give us your thoughts on our back line. I know Zach Bastris, he's been a favorite of yours for at least a couple of years now.
Yeah, man.
Who else is standing out for you for our wingers and fullbacks?
You know, Paolo Bellinconi obviously is just amazing.
Yeah.
The king, as I call him.
He has. You and I both noticed the same thing. Like once he sort of got reunited with his family, like the smile came back to his face.
Absolutely.
And the smile came back to his game.
Yes. I think that was probably a huge factor. And of course, why wouldn't it be, right? If you feel good, you're going to play good. You know, so all of that, there's a lot of mental to the game of rugby. Like, you know, there's a lot of great players out there, but you know, to go to the next level, it's not just physical stuff. It's up here. So, you know, that we definitely saw that there's a brightness in him, that has returned with his family being here, which is awesome. Good for them. And that really translated on the pitch. And I think this year we will continue to see him. I think he's probably the best finisher in MLR. I mean, that's quite the statement to make, but I mean, last year, just look at it, he led the league in tries. I mean, you know, it's one of those things. So I expect him to have a big monster year. I think he's scored one try so far. So not exactly on pace to break that record. But, you know, you can't count that dude out, man. As soon as he gets the ball, it's kind of over for the opposition. He's probably going to score.
Can you give us a player or two who hasn't really had a chance yet to shine? Like we've talked about, like there's some players who just haven't had that much time on the pitch yet. Who are some players you're expecting big things from who haven't just had the opportunity to show us that yet? Who are some sleeper players for you?
I really want to see Jackson Thebus back. I mean, of course, yes, with him being an original free jack, coming back into the team is a great story, right?
I would love
to see him get some more minutes. But to do that, I think it's, you know, it would have to be some sort of injury situation or a rotation situation where we would see him starting, I think. But him coming off the bench, great, awesome for us. Really excited to see what else he can continue to do after two year absence from the team. But somebody else that comes to mind is our try scorer from last week, not Jason Patras, but Malachi Hala. I think, you know, I don't think he's 21 yet, which is crazy to think about. A great, wow, promising New Zealand prop coming over, that Manawatu connection with Mike Rogers, him coming over to the Free Jacks. I really want to see what he can do because, you know, he's here and he can't even legally drink a beer yet. That's insane. That's crazy, man. And, you know, it's not some accident. This guy, like, you know, jumped on the ship when one of our other players were coming over, jumped on the plane. He has a right to be here. He's that good. So
that must be the weirdest part of TK's job. Like, no, sorry, mate.
Yeah. Really? Yeah. That's got to be probably the worst part, to be honest.
Yeah. I have a feeling it's loosely enforced, shall we say.
Loosely. Yep.
So you've covered this at great length on your own show, so I'm not going to rehash the whole thing. Any listeners, by the way, who aren't already tuning into the Jax Rangers show, I mean, what's even the matter with you? But for the benefit of my listeners, you know, we've got 12 more games to go. What do you foresee for wins and losses the rest of the way?
I think we'll probably lose one away, and then the rest, victories. Victories, baby.
The way across the board. Is that Houston? Is that what you've got circled?
I think that's fair to say. I think that's going to be a very, very tough test. I think we will keep it close, but I do not see us winning that game. And then who's going to stop us is really the kind of energy that I want to bring in to this conversation right now. Who's really going to stop us, the New England Free Jacks, the best team in the league, top to bottom? On our day, we can beat anybody. I don't care who it is. Whether it's the Legion geriatric team or, you know, the Seawall, whoever, man, bring them to Fort Quincy and we will beat them. That's how good I feel about this team.
Who is going to top the West by the end of this season?
I think it's a three-way race. And I'm high on Houston, as you can tell. But yeah. I think it's going to be Seattle, man. Seattle.
They look like they're on a mission to me. They look angry.
I know. And they should be. They should be. Now, for those that may not be aware, the history of MLR goes Seattle would play the Legion and beat them every time.
Yep.
You know, in the playoffs, that was the biggest boogeyman for San Diego. But last year, the tables turned. And I have to imagine that Seattle's absolutely furious with that.
I really think so.
Yep. So I would expect them. That's just a winning culture there, man. Just like the Free Jacks have. Like, you can't have a losing season in Seattle and still continue to be like, everything's okay, right? No, it's not okay. It's not okay to lose there. They will continue to be good, and I expect.
Well, this
them
is
to
a young
be
competition. They're the only team with two championships,
no
right?
No doubt, exactly. There's only two teams in the league that have won championships. The league has existed for 7 years. It just so happens the other champions no longer exist, which is kind of wild to think about.
Oof.
Yeah. Yeah.
So which two teams are going to be in the final, and how much will we win by?
Interesting. You know, if I believe in the preseason and our way too early predictions, part one and two, I said that we would see San Diego again. And of course, it's going to be in San Diego. I just want to throw up when I think about that. I can't believe the league did that, but it is what it is. You know what, man? I'm going to go in a different
direction. It looks like a beautiful arena. I get it, but it's annoying.
Yeah. Yeah, it is annoying for sure. I'm going to say that the Houston Thundercats will be meeting our New England Free Jacks in San Diego, which, by the way, will be hilarious. Do you know how much shit I'm going to talk to the Legion if they don't make their own fucking final with that roster? Dude, it is going to be – I'm going to be dancing on there. You think I'm going to be mad? Bozo Six on the show, who's a certified lunatic, will be tap dancing on their grave. If they can't even show up to their own final, I'm going to laugh so hard, Dave. I'm going to laugh so much. And I think that would be so funny. Either that or what would be a bigger FU to San Diego is if Seattle, their biggest nemesis, makes it to the final at San Diego and plays a...
That would be great.
That is truly the final that I've always wanted to see. Two of the best fan bases in the league, Seattle and New England, coming together to face off against one another.
I really wanted to be anyone but San Diego just because of the home field thing. You're not supposed to have home field for a freaking final.
Agreed. Agreed. It should be a neutral venue. I will scream that until my head pops off. Or if you really want it to be, this is the debacle, right? This is New York's fault. We've talked about this before. New York screwed this up for the rest of us. They had the privilege of being played in their, not a glorified high school stadium, a just mediocre, terrible high school stadium. Yeah. They couldn't sell alcohol. And the league was like, wait a minute, you want us to play where now? And they were like, okay, we're going to spend, you know, $30,000 or whatever the amount was to rent out Red Bull Stadium in Harrison, New Jersey, which holds like 25,000. There may have been 2,000 people there, maybe. And it just looked terrible on TV. It was really terrible. And then the league was like, okay, we can never do this again. So they've done the neutral venue ever since. And I love the idea of it being in the middle of the country. Put it in St. Louis or an emerging market in the middle of the country.
What about putting it in Glendale, Colorado?
Love that. I think that the people in Glendale that control the Raptors would absolutely piss their pants with the idea of that taking place. They would hate that. That was a big divorce thing with the league, with the people of Glendale, which is
a shame.
We're
all working towards the same thing, which is growing rugby in America. They're doing their version. The MLR is doing their version. They have a rugby-ready stadium with a rugby crowd.
Yep. And it's a jewel of a stadium as well. It's a rugby-specific stadium in Rugby Town, which is fantastic. And it's a shame that politics got involved to separate MLR from that great rugby town. It's a real shame.
Phil, will you be going to the final again this year? Or does it depend on who's there?
If the Free Jacks are going, I can't see myself not going to the final. I'll have to hitchhike the way there. No, that's not true. I'm just joking.
You should start now, my friend.
So I'm going to Belfast to see our academy team.
Oh, yeah.
Play. Against Ulster, which is going to be, I'm going to be there for 6 days. I'm just going to be drinking Guinness and having a blast. And then I'm going to DC, the DC away game. And I'm also going to Miami away game.
Oh, so sweet.
Yeah. You know, you got to get yourself a lady that loves to travel. And I have one of those. So we'll be going all over the place. So I can't imagine not going to the final. If the Free Jacks are there, I will definitely be there. I will move hell. Anything to get there, I will be there, man. Now, if it's not the Free Jacks, I'll watch it on TV.
Yeah.
But, yeah. No, if it's DC, I might not watch it. I might not want to. Just because
I hate
them so
much. You
wouldn't
want to watch them lose? That would be great.
That would be great. You're right. Maybe I would. I would catch it. Yeah, just to see them slip and fall. Yeah.
Phil, my dear friend, you are the best. It's always a treat to catch up. Maybe we do it again after midseason.
Love it. Love that idea. I'm always like super loose and really good on this show. I think it's just because I don't have any pressure of like pressing buttons. Like,
you said that before. You don't have to produce it, but also you don't have to like, you just come in and just talk.
No, I didn't prepare anything. It's just all off the top of my head. And I think the best version of Phil Harris is on this show, which is kind of wild to think about. But I'm okay on the Jacks Rangers show, but I feel like I'm a bit more guarded, which is weird. But yeah, I love coming on the show.
Well, it's your thing. So, you know, you're putting yourself out there. Anyway, exactly. You and I feel the same way about it. And, that's one of the reasons I love having you on here, too. It is a slightly different dynamic. I'm an avid listener. I listen to every single show you put out. And like I said earlier, anyone who's not listening, you're really missing a trick. Yeah. You're the best. And speaking of which, what is on the horizon for the Jacks Rangers show? Any special guests lined up? Do you have any new graphics cooked up for trolling the other teams?
Of course, there's always graphics in the graphics machine. My old brain here is always running for just how I can talk trash to other teams. But I will say that Caleb Geiger, who is a product of the American Raptors, who played in New York, we won't hold that against him too much, is going to be on the show tomorrow, which is Thursday at 9 p.m. Eastern time. And that episode will drop that evening, coming out and promoted on Friday of this week. It's a bye week, so I'm kind of bummed out that the Free Jacks aren't going to play. I'll have to go watch hockey, I guess. Gosh. But
you can always take a walk.
I definitely need to do that. Get out and experience the fresh air. But yeah, so that's going to happen. And then, next week, it's just, we're rolling right into it with our preview of Miami. Can't wait for that. And then we've got to figure out our outfits. We still have to discuss top secret outfit. I've got an idea for you that we'll all run by you. But it's so exciting. It's rugby season, man. I've got a smile on my face every day because I'm just so happy to talk about the Jacks Rangers and the Free Jacks. It's great.
Mr. Harris, you are a scholar and a gentleman. Thank you again for joining me this evening.
Thank you, David.
Been fantastic as always.
You're the best, man. Thank you so much.
Cheers, Phil. Talk to you soon. And be well.